Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, Lord, for making this possible. And bless us today, Lord, in our knowledge, understanding, and preparation for the times to come. Thank you, Father. Amen. We're going to continue with Restoration for the Saints. This is number 6. And we're going to call this first revelation, Except the Lord Build the House. And this was given to Claire Pienaar, 2-18-22. She said, I dreamed I was on a street that had many old, dirty, white, Queensland-style homes. The color and name of these homes represents the dirty nature of the apostate religions. We don't live in Queensland. We live in the King of Kings, Jesus. And he lives in us. And he is the King. Okay. Song 6, 8 through 9. There are 80 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. But my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bear her. So there really is only going to be one queen. Psalm 45 is an example of that. In my dream, I knew that there was a retrial for Oscar Pistorius, a Paralympian who killed his live-in girlfriend in February of 2013, a decade ago. His name means Spear of the Gods, and he was known as the Blade Runner. He represents those who are aligned with a disabled cause, in that he had no real legs. And also, when he committed this crime, I remember that the Lord gave me a vision of a power or principality over the part of the city where it was committed. And I remember the words lawless, anger, and violence came to mind. Well, I'm going to say lawless, angry, violent, and spiritually crippled describes the faction very well. And they are murdering God's children. The retrial represents God's judgment, once again, coming upon the apostates who are extremely competitive with one another and divisive because they are spiritually crippled. They have killed those who have received their seed, represented by the girlfriend. And in this dream, the Lord gave me a vision of many protesters going up to the courthouse where Oscar's retrial was. And these protesters were being verbally taunted by the police there. In general, we have no precedent in Scripture for getting entangled in worldly moral causes. We were sent to preach the gospel. And all it takes is belief in the simple gospel to enter the kingdom and have a total change of mind. Until someone has this, they can't understand morality, okay? Morality is man's idea of goodness, okay? Christians love justice, but crucifixion never appears outwardly to be justice. It's only from God's point of view that a crucifixion is justice. It's justice against the old man who can't walk with God. Many times Christians take up the defense of the old man. Patriotism, for example, has gotten countless Christians killed over the centuries. Jesus said, His kingdom was not of this world. And if his kingdom was of this world, his servants would fight. Spiritually speaking, judgment begins at the house of God. And when we're not in agreement with his word, we're making ourselves his enemies, bringing judgment upon ourselves. Then the vision ended, and the Lord said, "Turn right into this house. Anna lives here." Well, she said, "Anna is a slightly younger friend of mine, and she represents those who are still in apostasy, but the Lord has favor on them, as her name means grace or favor." My thought is that she is immature in the ways of the Lord and doesn't understand God's sovereignty. Job was mistreated by his factious friends, while God looked on and taught Job lessons that he could have learned no other way. Anna was indeed in the home, and she was fretful and worried. She could not leave her phone alone and kept on receiving updates about this big retrial. So she's taken up this distraction, this cause. She ran up to me, teary-eyed, and said, "My friend got hurt in the protests." She took her dog with her for protection, but carried it under her clothing. And when the policeman started prodding her, the dog attacked her, and now my friend is badly injured by her own dog. We know what dogs are. To the Jews, they were unbelievers, right? The dog under her clothing represents the old man who is our real enemy and turns on us. You know, James 4 and 4 says this, "Ye adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world maketh himself an enemy of God." So we must get on God's side against our flesh. It doesn't matter whether it's a good cause or a bad cause. We have to be against our flesh. We've been sent by God with specific rules and direction. So Claire went on to say, I said, "Perhaps you should put your phone away." The Lord showed me that these dogs are our flesh, mostly anger and self-defense, and that reside inside of us, not on the outside, represented by the dogs being under the clothing. Yeah, well, Romans 8 and 13 says, "If you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live." How many of God's people are dead because they took the moral cause instead of the direction of the Holy Spirit? Then I looked at Anna's house. It was almost completely dilapidated and run down. It was so flimsy and rickety. The floorboards had missing pieces, and there was no proper floor covering. Well, as we will see further down in another revelation, the man-child is coming to restore the foundation of the house. The foundation is not morality. The foundation is the Word of God and following the Holy Spirit. Okay, the apostate church has many holes in their foundation because they have rejected the whole gospel and they are very distracted. You know, Luke 6 and 32 says, "Or how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me cast out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that's in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote that is in thy brother's eye." Cast out the mote. Well, this is so true. The Lord wants us to get him in us first so we have something to give to others. Yeah. And she went on to say, also, the windows were gone. Well, we know windows keep out the flies and prevent the elements from coming inside the house. Satan, or Beelzebub, is the lord of the flies, which are the demons, and the elements are the curses of this world. If our windows on our house are missing, then we leave an opening for the enemy to attack and for curses to come upon us, such as it did to this girl, right? I walked up a flight of stairs that resembled one of those old jungle rope and plank bridges. As I thought, the second level might be better, but once I got up there, I realized there was nothing there. Well, the house of the immature lady has nothing upstairs. In other words, mentally retarded Christianity. And those types of bridges are very unstable and tossed about like they're winds of doctrine. I know, I've built those things. And these jungle rope bridges represent unstable works of the flesh, which can never bring us into heavenly places. I came back down, and Anna ran to me again, teary-eyed, and said, another friend has died. She took her pet spider with her to protest at the courthouse under her clothes, too, and when the police started prodding her, the spider bit her, and she died. Well, you see, it does matter what we have on under our clothing. Your clothing represents your works, right, as we know from the scriptures. But it does matter what you have on the inside. It can get you killed. That's why we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And Romans 13:2 says, therefore, he that resisteth the power withstandeth the ordinance of God, and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. I replied, I really think you need to put your phone away. Give up on the news, folks. It's a good thing to do. Worldly distractions will end up killing our spirit man because he will be starved out by our flesh nature, who is constantly being fed through fellowship with the world. And it's exciting. Excitement. Sometimes, just sitting down to read the Bible seems ho-hum with all the excitement going on, but you have to pay attention to God, and you have to have something on the inside to give to these people. Then her husband came in and told her the same thing, and she said her husband represents Jesus in the man-child. I believe true. The Lord is coming. He's coming to set people on a good foundation. Then I left the house and walked down the road. A tiny and very old lady walked past me, dressed in a black business suit with pointy black shoes that had red soles. The red-soled shoes represents trampling on the blood of the saints. Yeah, Revelation 17:5-6 says, and upon her forehead a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Throughout history, it's been that way. So-called people of God are the ones that have killed God's martyrs, right? She carried out tiny little black dog with her, and everyone on either side of the road stopped and gave her reverence. I heard them murmur, she owns this town. Well, Revelation 17:3 says, and he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Well, no matter what manifestation you think, the harlot is ruling over the beast for such a time as when she is cast down by them. I received 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 when I asked the Lord about this dream by faith at random. Now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually judged. So we have to have our mind renewed with the Word of God. Walking in the Spirit is not something that comes natural to the natural man, right? So here's another revelation. Man-child is coming to restore the foundation. And this was given to Isaac Payne mid-January 2022. In this dream, I was renovating a house. Well, the house represents our life, right? The house had a farmhouse-type charm to it, and the walls were white. Well, the white walls are the walls of purity and sanctification. Walls separate us from the outside world, from the dangers, and so on and so forth. And that is separation or sanctification. I was installing a floating type of tongue and groove floor. And I believe the tongue and groove is a play on words. There is power in the tongue. And if it's not bridled, it will agree with the curse. I think the groove represents bridling the tongue. I do too. James 1 and 26 says, if any man thinks himself to be religious, while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart, this man's religion is vain. And Proverbs 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, we have to have a renewed mind to have a renewed tongue, right? And we have to slow down enough to let that renewed mind speak to us rather than just rambling anything that comes out. What we speak with our mouths will either build up the foundation of our house or tear it down. In the remodel, I wanted to make the floor have an old barn wood look to it. And I believe the barn wood look is indicative of the wheat being stored in the barns. Matthew 13 and 30 says this, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather up first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. And he's been doing that miraculously, using faction to separate them from the wheat, right? But gather the wheat into my barn. So the barn is like our natural life. It is a foundation and a storage place for our fruit, right? The flooring material that I was laying was a type of vinyl that had an old barn wood look to it. The wood was highlighted with white and light blue streaks in the floor. I believe white means purity and blue means heavenly. Yes, I do too. It was a very beautiful floor, and my workbench was set up with my miter saw inside the house. In reality, I would have used many more tools than this for the task, as I have laid a floating floor before. But in this dream, that's the only tool that I remember. Well, it's the most important one if you realize that the miter saw is a play on words too, and represents the clean miter spoken of in Zechariah 3 and 5. And we'll look at 1 through 10 in context. And he showed me Joshua the high priest. Well, we know Joshua is the Hebrew spelling for Jesus, who is our high priest. And we are his body being represented here. And we know it's not Jesus, but his body, when we look at the rest of the text. Standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to be his adversary. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Yea, the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Now we know that's not Jesus' problem at all, but it is the problem of his body, okay? Representing the fallen nature of his body here, I believe, and was standing before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take the filthy garments from off of him. All right. Well, we are sanctified by our sacrifice, Jesus, right? And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with rich apparel. I think this is a promise to us. And it's a promise that was fulfilled at the cross, and we have to believe it to receive it, right? And I said, Let them set a clean mitre, there it is, upon his head, representing the mind of Christ. A clean mitre upon his head. So if you got a renewed mind, everything changes. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? So they set a clean mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, not a problem with Jesus, right? So, but it is with the body. And this is not your own ways, representing the David Manchild's tongue and groove flooring, as we're going to see a little bit later here. If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou also shalt judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee a place of access among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men that are a sign. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. And this is, of course, the David man-child branch spoken of in the scriptures. Amen? So Isaac went on to say, As I was continuing to work laying the floating floor, David Eales showed up to help me. I believe I'm representing here the man-child in whom Jesus lives and he directs, just like he did Jesus in the first son of David, right? He was very skilled in laying a floating floor. David brought with him his own floating floor materials and wanted to lay his floor in my house. So again, David here is representing Jesus in the man-child who wants to build the foundation of our house with his superior materials. He motioned to me to come over and to look at the color and style of his floating tongue and groove floor. I went over to him and looked at the vinyl floor that he had. It was also barnwood looking. His had white streaks with beautiful purple streaks in it. And he said, I believe that the white means purity and the purple means royalty. Yes. We have to be born into royalty, don't we? We have to become sons of the king. It doesn't matter how good you are. You have to become born into the kingdom, right? Sons of the king. So 1 Corinthians 3:10-11 says this, According to the grace of God which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let each man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Right. Jesus Christ is the foundation. He is the Word of God that is the foundation. He said, "See how beautiful the floor is." I said, "Yes, it's beautiful." And David said, "It's durable too. Grab one piece of your vinyl flooring and hang on to the long end closest to you, and let's see how far it bends without cracking or breaking." Well, you know, these are long, thin strips of vinyl, and if you hold it by one end, it droops almost right down to the floor. So he says vinyl flooring is very flexible and water resistant. If you hold the piece of flooring close to you by one end and extend the other end away from you, the flooring piece will bend almost totally downward. And this can cause cracking depending upon the quality of the flooring. So we need to make sure that our foundational flooring is Christ quality and durable and won't crack under us, right? I grabbed my barnwood white and blue flooring by one side to see how far it could bend. The piece of vinyl flooring flexed and bent, but it began to crack and then broke in half. Well, it reminds us of 1 Corinthians 3:12-15. "But if any man buildeth on the foundation of the gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it's revealed in fire. And the fire itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide, which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire." Now, of course, we suffer loss when our works are the works of man, because they don't last, right? But we learn our lesson if we're diligent and we go on to find out what is it to do the works of God. And, of course, that's one reason people need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. David said to me, "Try this floor instead." And David grabbed a piece of his white and purple barnwood vinyl floating floor by one end, holding it close to him, and let the other end bend and flex. His floating floor didn't break or crack. And he showed me a scrap piece of his floating floor, and he said to me, "You know what makes this flooring so strong?" I watched intently as David showed me the layers of the white and purple barnwood floating floor. David said, "The strength comes from these fibers inside the board. The fibers are made from the vines of tomato plants." Well, we know that the vines represent Jesus, right? So God's got a way of talking here. It's all parable, you know. "I could see so clearly that these fibers were weaved together from tomato plant vines, giving the flooring its structural integrity." Now, if you believe this in the natural, I have a bridge I would like to sell you, okay? So we're talking spiritual here, right? John 15:1-8 says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit," by the way, tomatoes are fruit, "he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit." Many of you have raised tomatoes, and you know you have to cut those sucker vines, you know. They're just sapping the power of the plant, right? "Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye, except ye abide in me. Well, you know that when a plant, the stem gets bent over and creased, you know, it doesn't put out the best tomatoes, okay? And actually, that can all die. So I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. This we need to know. We can't. Many people follow God with their mind alone instead of following his spirit. He knows the way, and we have to be in the way. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and they gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So, he says, David and I began to lay the floating floor that he had brought throughout the house. David was leading the way, laying the floor, and I was following his example. And as his work with the floating floor was very efficient, so we must follow in the steps of Jesus, the Son of David, in order to lay a proper foundation for our lives or houses through the Word of God. And he went on to say, David looked down at my feet and nodded at me to take notice of something. So I looked down at my feet and I realized I was working without any shoes on. David had steel-toed work boots on. Well, that I believe represents walking in safety, right? They're safety shoes, is what they are, for anything heavy falling on us and damaging us, especially down there at our foundation, right? So I grabbed a pair of shoes also and put them on. However, they weren't work boots or steel-toed. They looked like a pair of my wife's handmade, crocheted house shoes. Well, no comment. He said, I think the boots represent the gospel of peace. That's another good slant on that. And I think the Lord is showing that I need more of the word in my heart. Ephesians 6:15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, right? And 2 Peter 1:2. Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace we need. We have to have it. And it can be multiplied the more we know about God. And, the sovereignty of God is such a powerful thing to give us grace and peace. People need to know that and understand that. Therefore, they won't get entangled in all of the things that happen out there in the world. They have a job to do, and the Bible is very specific about our orders. We must find out our orders. We must follow the Lord. As David and I continued to work, I saw my father-in-law, remember that, sitting on a cooler, holding his own flooring piece and a hammer. He wanted to join in on the remodeling of the house, but didn't because he was waiting for the invite. Okay. So, yep, well, some people are not prepared to do this. They shouldn't be out there laying foundations. He said, my father-in-law's name is Saul. I think he represents the Saul Ministries and those that are bound by the Old Testament law and haven't received the full gospel yet. Well, apostate Christianity wants to beat people over the head with their doctrines, right? Represented by the hammer, and put them under the law. They don't know how to lay a proper foundation because they want to use their own materials. Reminds us of Isaiah 4 and 1, which says, "And seven women," representing the seven churches, "shall take hold of one man in that day, saying, 'We will eat our own bread.'" Well, now we're supposed to eat the unleavened bread that came down out of heaven, who is Jesus Christ, right? "We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel." In other words, do our own works. "Only let us be called by thy name," Christian. "Take thou away our reproach." And then I woke up. Well, obviously we can see what is there, right? And that's what's going on. You know, he said, "In real life, I have noticed lately that God has been doing a work in Saul. Slowly, throughout the pandemic, he has been questioning the church he is affiliated with. The church he is a member of, believes in justification through works of the law. And he is a big advocate of justification through the tithe." Well, and all of this does not lay a justifiable foundation. In other words, they don't have a foundation. They're bondservants. "And the bondservant abideth not in the house forever," the Bible says. "The son abideth forever. The law does not justify. It separates us from Christ," Paul said, right? So there's no foundation there. Well, and then we received this from Winnie Asageta, 3:10-22. "Our heavenly landlord is renovating the house." Amen. "I dreamt that Chuck and I were entering our home. The home was all white inside with a white couch, and it was very beautiful. The sun/son was shining brightly through the sliding glass doors." Well, this house represents our house of sanctification and submission to the Word, which is Christ. And the white couch is our continual Sabbath rest from our own works that we are commanded to keep in the New Testament. It's not a day anymore. It's a continual resting from our own works, including religious works like the law. Right? "The house wasn't on the beach, but it did remind me of one of those beautiful houses that are by the water. Our house was the same place that we live in now, but it just looked different in the dream." Well, Psalm 1, 1-3 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, because he's doing it in the Lord." How many of you know the Lord does what he wants to do? We know we can have freedom in the Lord because we will to do his will. Only when you will to do his will are you free, because then you get to do what you want to do. Okay? When we walked in our home, I noticed the wall hangings and the frames were ripped off the wall, and I did not understand why. And then I went into the bathroom, and I noticed that the sink was ripped out of the wall as well. And it occurred to me that the landlord did this. I left the bathroom, and I said to myself, "Oh, no, the landlord came and ripped the sink off the wall of the bathroom." Well, I believe the landlord here represents Jesus, who is the Lord of our spiritual promised land, when we are submitted to Him, and He sits on the throne of our hearts. And if He doesn't like our sink, which is what you use to wash up yourself, clean your face so you can see clearly in the mirror, right? Then He can give us a new sink and new water too. And that's what we need. There are so many people dealing with the old sink and the old water, and they don't really know what they look like. And they don't know what Jesus looks like. So we have to see Him in the mirror, right? That's the only way we can come into His image from glory to glory. I was a little concerned that He came and did this without asking. Well, Isaiah 45 and 9 says, "Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, 'What makest thou?'" No, we're just the clay, right? We just submit. But when I went back into the bathroom again, I saw that there was a brand new, bright, sparkling, white porcelain sink and beautiful, rich, blue-colored walls. Being heavenly, right? Heavenly walls. Heavenly sanctification. Porcelain sink. I then realized that the landlord was actually renovating our house. Amen. He was removing what was old and not worth anything and replacing it with something even better than I could ever imagine. Then I woke up. Well, Romans 3, 24 and 25 says, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation," or an exchange, that's what it means, right? And that's what He was doing, exchanging the old sink and water for the new sink and water, through faith in His blood, to show His righteousness because of the passing over of the sins done aforetime in the forbearance of God. So we're accounted righteous freely by His grace. We're able to continue, and He is able to give us the benefits of the kingdom when we're walking under grace. And part of that is the new sink. And also 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, "But we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit." We need to be able to wash up that old face and see Jesus in the mirror, the Jesus in the mirror, the correct Jesus in the mirror, right? And then if so, we're transformed into that same image. Now, you know, cults, they come into the image of their teachers. It's very clear. They receive the same spirits. It's very clear. And Paul worried about us, you know, talking about another spirit, another Jesus, another gospel, you know. And so we need the washing of the cleansing of the Word of God to sanctify us from all this corruption. I was very excited for this. In real life, we have pretty cheap plastic sinks installed. But it makes sense for the Lord to use this as a parable. And also, the bathroom that was renovated was the bathroom that Jaden, my oldest son, uses in real life. And Jaden means thankful one in Hebrew. Interesting. So, I believe this was also speaking of the Lord doing a work in Jaden's life. as I had just prayed for him that very night before I went to sleep. Amen. So Father gives answers in the midst of these parables that we don't know about, right? She said, Father is cleaning up and restoring all the lives of his thankful ones. Yeah, that's part of our sacrifice to the Lord, is giving thanks unto him for everything he's doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 22 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Amen. And she said, I believe this dream is representative of the Lord removing Babylonish and religious mindsets from our lives. I thought of the verse Psalm 127:1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. True. Well, here's one more. A man-child lets more light into the house. Claire Pinard, 3:4:22. I dreamed the local electrician came to install a more powerful light in our home. His business is called Man on Demand. In the dream, he represents Jesus, who is in the man-child and is the man on demand. He is the renovator of our house. The light we had was already pretty bright, so I didn't understand the reason for more light. He said, you need brighter light. Yes, we all do. He was balancing precariously on a ladder and then stepped off of the ladder completely and fiddled with the light bulb while he was in mid-air. It looked like he was holding himself up supernaturally because it was obvious that he was not able to hang from a light bulb. Okay, well, it is a supernatural work of God. Too much of it is the work of man. Jesus is our example of how to overcome the world and its attraction. And this is accomplished when we meditate on the Word and let in more light into our house or life. We need to learn how to walk as He walked, and we need to learn how to walk in the Spirit, which is contrary to our natural man. Walking by faith is imperative, and not walking by sight, which drags us down to our earthly impossibilities, you know. Then he went out to the garden and cut most of the largest tree down. He said, this'll give you more light too. Look how that light's shining into your home now. Well, this is obviously a bad tree because it's not letting the light into the house to bear fruit. Kind of like Nebuchadnezzar's tree that had to be cut down too. Luke 13:6-9, and he spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit thereon, and found none. And he said unto the vine dresser, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why doth it cumber the ground? And he answering saith unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, thenceforth well, but if not, thou shalt cut it down. Well, He said, I agreed. I was so happy. She did. We had so much more light in our home, and then I woke up. Well, you can't really appreciate the light until you wake up, right? Praise the Lord. Just a little pun there, but we do have to wake up, and we can appreciate the light then. And we ask the Lord for everything. Ask Him to give you light. Ask Him to give you sight, right? So I asked the Lord for a word for this dream, and I received by faith at random 2 Samuel 7, 24 and 25. And thou didst establish for thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, becamest their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, confirm thou it forever, and do as thou hast spoken. Well, amen. Well, Father, we put our total trust in you to give us light, to give us the original foundation of Jesus Christ, which no other foundation will do. Many don't have that foundation. They can't build on what they have because it's all going to crumble. And Lord, we ask for your good foundation, which is the Word of God. We ask that your people quit playing church and go home and read their Bible and become familiar with the writer of the New Testament, especially, and the Old Testament. Become familiar with this, because this is the foundation, the Word of God, Jesus Christ. This is the foundation. No other foundation will do. Every other foundation is on the sand. And when the troubles of life come, it's all washed away. It's not built on the rock of Jesus Christ and His Word, and it won't last. And we see this, many Christians get into trouble, and they don't know what to do. While others have been studying the Word, and they found that there are solutions to everything there. Everything. Everything. And God wants us to repent, which means change your mind. Change your mind and believe what I say. That's what He wants us to do. And if we will walk in agreement with His Word, we will see the power of God to do things we could never do with our hands, with our eyes, with our mouth. We could never do. The Lord wants to do it through us. He wants to give us a transformation, new sight, new hearing, new ability to perceive, new hearing from His Spirit. It does start with being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is easier, and we find more grace and more power after being filled with the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. In other words, we will be witnesses of Christ Himself when people look at us because of what the Holy Spirit is doing through us. They will see Christ, right? And so we need to get the foundation. There are many churches that don't have the foundation. And if you're used to seeking out truth, and the Bible says the sum of thy words is truth, if you're used to seeking out truth, you will outgrow every religion out there that you've ever been accompanied with. And you will come out from among them and be separate, as it was in Jesus' day. Jesus, of course, there wasn't one denomination followed Jesus in His day, and the things that have been are the things that shall be. A denomination, of course, Paul said in Galatians, was a work of the flesh. How do you think you can follow the flesh and expect to arrive at Jesus? Right? It's not going to happen. So, what you must do is put the pure word into your heart until it totally overcomes what's already there. And this is not a one-time thing. We need reminding quite often of things, even simple, basic things. We need reminding of these things, like justification by faith. If you don't keep that in sight, you will receive no power and no grace from God. You need to be justified, which means accounted righteous. If you're accounted righteous, you're entitled to the benefits of the kingdom. And grace gives these to you because you have faith, right? And so, Lord, we ask that you bring to remembrance all the things that you've said unto us that will help us on this walk through this world. We ask for your grace every day, Lord. We ask that you fill us up every day, Lord. We ask that you make time in our lives around us, Lord, and help us to overcome distractions and help us to get into your word and get fresh word from you every day, straight from you, Lord, not secondhand, straight from you. Thank you, Father, for doing this. Thank you for the victory you've given us over the world. Thank you that you have delivered us out of the power of darkness. And thank you, Lord, it's all been done at the cross, and this will give us faith to know these things. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives, and we know you're going to finish the good work you started in us. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today, folks. God bless you and keep you.